Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. This is episode number 245. We're recording this on Sunday, June 10th, 2021. Wow, first time I got to say 2021
Welcome
on the
back
podcast,
to Echo Base.
We are here for the last time.
Number 245.
Expenses are getting a little high. We're going to be closing the blast doors down and shutting down Echo Base because it's just...
Wait, what now?
The heating bills are tough and, you know, the...
Suck it up, buttercup. Get a parka. Like Han did. Get a toque for crying out loud. You're close to Canada.
I got a parka. It's just my fingers are numb.
How about a Wookiee pelt?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice Wookiee pelt. They'll keep you warm. I told the three of you, and I told Han, and I told Leia, that building this whole place on electric heat was going to cost a fortune, but nobody ever listens to Major Tom. Just, you know, stay in your lane is all I heard, but here we are.
Yes, here we are. We're not going anywhere though, so don't panic. We are still going to be around. We're just renaming and rebranding and moving to warmer climates.
Well, now you've got everybody confused.
I know.
And we're not moving to warmer climates.
No.
No, we're still going to broadcast here from Echo Base. We're just...
Oh.
Yeah.
You're kidding me. I already packed everything.
That's why it's so much cleaner and neater around here. I was wondering about that.
Communication, man. Communication. I already loaded all the stuff up into my transport.
Okay, we should probably explain what's going on.
We should.
So... actually, you know what? Since Echo Base is apparently going to go away or something, let's do this. There we go. There. Now it's updated in the corner of the screen for you guys watching us on YouTube. It's a temporary placeholder.
And we're back. We're now Force Chatter.
Back. So let me explain what happened. So we are obviously trying to... have a stronger YouTube presence. And the problem is that on YouTube, a couple of other channels using our name have existed for at least a few months now. One of them, I think probably close to a year, maybe a little over a year. And they're covering some really, shall we say, hot topics. As those things break, things we normally don't cover. So the YouTube algorithm is putting them right after a lot of really big name Star Wars YouTube channels right now. They have nothing to do with us and they're nothing like us. We do completely different things and we don't want there to be any brand confusion. It's not an issue of who was there first. That's not really how this works. And we don't own Echo Base.
It was still us.
We don't own the Outer Rim.
It was a lease. Yeah.
Yeah. We leased them from Lucasfilm. And by that, we mean we had no such thing. we can't really pursue it because we don't own those names. Those other people don't own those names either. So for the sake of branding, we decided to go back to something that is uniquely ours that would eliminate brand confusion and yet also would be a little bit more in tune with the culture of YouTube. So here's what we're going to do. We are taking Echo Base and we're taking the Outer Rim and we're merging it under one thing. Cause most of our listeners who listen to Echo Base also listen to the Outer Rim and it's basically the same audience. So what we're doing is we're taking all of that and we're consolidating it under Force Chatter. So we're going to have Force Chatter news shows, Force Chatter topical discussion shows. Sometimes we're going to have little 10, 15 minute, you know, breaking segments, depending on what happens, or, you know, we are opening ourselves up and giving us the flexibility to discuss whatever we want in regards to Star Wars, whenever we want, with the commitment of weekly news shows and, discussion shows. So you're going to get all the same content. It's just going to be called Force Chatter. We're going to have a new logo. Right now we're using this temporary one, which is the little random chatter teeth with a lightsaber and a Jedi robe. Cause you know,
I had lobbied to have the new name called, the Echo Outer Base Rim. But no one else liked that.
Well, you know, it's clean. I'll give that to it.
I mean, it's never been tried before.
It's not confusing.
Yeah, it wouldn't be confusing at all. It's a nice merging of the two shows.
Yes. I was going to say the Outer Rim shot because I make a lot of bad jokes in that way. You know.
Yeah, yeah. So I got to say, I mean, it's kind of obviously we talked about this and you know, totally bought into the reasons, the whys and wherefores of it. But it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. I mean, Echo Base is a legacy. It's been around for a long time.
Since the Forcecast. Since the Forcecast, but during those Forcecast days.
During those times we started that show, yeah.
Wow. And
yeah, I feel really possessive of it, and I'm a little annoyed at the people who came up with this other Echo Base thing on YouTube.
Yeah.
But you know, what are you going to do? It's not like they necessarily did anything wrong.
Well, they didn't. But it's also annoying that people simply don't know how to like do an internet Google search to say, you know, gee, does this exist? It's, I mean,
there's truly, already a Twitter account.
I mean, the amount of time, even simply with my own company, that I have to spend chasing down people who my company name suddenly pops up in Texas from some idiot out there who doesn't know how to use Google, who's now using my name. I mean, on that end, my company name is actually a registered trademark. You know, I do have a legal basis for it, whereas we right. don't with Echo Base, but it's the same principle stands. It's kind of annoying. Nick in the chat said it, but my Echo Base baseball tee is so cool. Nick, I completely agree. In fact, I'm wearing right now my Echo Base long sleeve shirt, you know, kind of in commemoration of this whole thing. It's sad. It's sad to me. I you know, yes, we're going to move on to bigger and better things. And this does kind of align with stuff that we've been talking about for a while in terms of how we're going to restructure some shows and that kind of stuff. And the Force Chatter thing has kind of been out there for a while, and we've kind of been figuring out what to do. And this gave us the impetus to really do it. But it's sad. It's sad.
But Nick and anybody else out there, if you have Echo Base t-shirts or sweatshirts or anything that you've gotten through randomchatter.com/store, those are now collector's items.
That's right.
There you go.
Those are now vintage. And you can still get them.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they're still up there. So get them now while you can.
You better air dry that. Don't keep putting it in the dryer and risk damage.
Yeah, I may have to order myself a sweatshirt because I never did that yet. So
I've got a Random Chatter shirt. I never got an Echo Base shirt. Now that you mentioned that, Lou, I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. So, that's where we're at. Like I said, new logo coming soon. If anybody out there is like a Photoshop wizard and graphic artist, let us know, because we are not. But
you don't want to see the logo I'd come up with. It'd look like a kindergartner scribbled it.
Stick figures would. Yeah,
we're going to do. You know, it's basically 8-bit. So, yeah, it'll be.
Yeah, reliant. We're not going retro. So there's one other thing, a bit of housekeeping here. Like I said, we're also consolidating the Outer Rim with this. So I'm going to make it like a quick little announcement to throw in the Outer Rim audio podcast feed. But we're going to have instructions on what you need to do to stay connected to your audio podcast feeds. If you're on YouTube, you don't have to go anywhere. We haven't really talked, I guess, about having a Random Chatter YouTube channel and a Force Chatter YouTube channel. And if that's something people out there want, yeah, that's easy enough to make happen. But for now, it's still part of the Random Chatter home on YouTube. So just go there. But if you're an audio podcast listener, we have a plan where if you subscribe to Echo Base, you won't have to make any changes. If you get the entire Random Chatter network feed, then this is still part of Random Chatter. So you obviously not going to have to make any changes. So nobody should really have to change anything unless you are only subscribing to the Outer Rim and not also separately to Echo Base. So 99% of you out there shouldn't have to make any changes. If that is not the case, then we will hold off on that RSS feed transition and let people know. But we're going to make this as seamless for you guys as possible. From now on, you're listening to Force Chatter. This will be the last episode of Echo Base. So, all right, Lou, that's the best I could do.
That was great. It was clear and succinct and better than the name Tim came up with. So
I know, right?
Anyway, so what else we got going on in the network? We have a new show that Tim is actually in charge of.
Lord help us. That thing where he covers the recap trailers
for Marvel
stuff. Yeah, we've already seen those movies, Tim.
Not true.
I'm actually.
No, let me ask you. So you did your first show this past weekend, right?
We did.
And how long was that show? I didn't get to listen to it yet.
That wasn't long. That was like 20, 25 minutes.
I mean, the content they were covering wasn't long either.
I was going to say it was like three times the length of the episode that they covered. So I'm just
pretty much. Yeah.
I'm just kidding you, Tim.
So it was our introductory episode of MCU TV. So we were going to do one anyway before WandaVision came out, which releases this coming Friday. The Disney Plus put out these Marvel Studios Legends episodes. They did one on Wanda Maximoff, Scarlet Witch, and the other one on The Vision. And they were a little disappointing because they were about, like, both of them were like 6 minutes and some seconds long.
Well, I wouldn't say they really were. They just didn't have any new content. It was all.
They could have been titled previously on the MCU.
Exactly. Pretty much. I mean, they were basically all clips
content
from the movies that they had been in, along with some contextual stuff. It was laid out really logically. So, I mean, that part was good. But I was really kind of expecting some kind of like narration, maybe some interview clips with the actors, directors, writers, Kevin Feige, my good friend.
Some background from the comics.
Maybe even some background from the comics. Yeah. Like any of that stuff. And that is definitely not what we got. So that said, you know, it's probably great for people who might really just be casual fans of the MCU and really haven't kept up with all the movies, but are excited to jump into this, which is something we saw with The Mandalorian. There's a whole new slate of Star Wars fans that have really jumped into The Mandalorian head first. That they've seen some Star Wars movies, but not a whole lot. They really didn't know a lot about them. But then, like, the whole Baby Yoda thing took off, and then they're like, oh, I got to watch this. And, you know, and it blew up, and they love it. And so, I mean, certainly we're hoping the same thing is going to happen on the MCU side of things. You know, so those are they're great little shows, I think, for that purpose. So we started MCU TV right now, basically the same slate of hosts that we have on Guardians of the MCU. But it's a different perspective. We're really just looking at these shows that are on Disney Plus. All of our news is still over on Guardians. And that's that.
Well, awesome. I am looking forward to seeing that. I know that the Legends thing did give me a maybe a more exciting taste for, you know, the show being released this Friday, because I mean, Scarlet Witch to me is a secondary character. I mean, I can't say as I know a lot about her from the comics or anything. So giving me that primer saying, oh yeah, okay. And that's that, you know, cause if you had to watch all the movies she was in for those few little seconds of her in each one of those movies, it'd be a lot of time.
Yeah.
And this was a good little primer for you. So I was excited about that.
It was a good recap of just how powerful she is too. I think a lot of people forgot.
Right. I forgot that too. You're right.
Endgame where she's picking up Thanos single-handedly and tossing him around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, some brain power.
Totally.
Yeah. So this Friday, and then you're doing your episodes every Saturday now? They're released Saturdays or?
Yeah. So we're shooting to do those shows Saturday morning. Because it, just like The Mandalorian, the MCU shows are releasing on Disney Plus on Friday morning. So, yeah, okay. Similar schedule.
Cool. Well, let's dive right into the news this week. We don't have much, but we're going to kind of run through this right now. So which one of you guys has been stalking Daisy Ridley?
It can't be me because I picked a really good hiding spot and there's no way that I was seen.
No, she can use the force. Right.
Yeah, she can probably see you pretty well with the force. she's been this was on Celebritainment. That's an interesting website.
It's basically like a celebrity gossip rag. You know, it's you know, oh, Kanye got a new sweater this week, you know, that sort of thing, which is not to say that it's inaccurate.
Was it like a cardigan?
It was nice.
Sorry, just kidding. No. So anyways, she was interviewed on this website talking about, you know, her time in Star Wars and how much she loved doing the movies and being part of Star Wars. But then the downside of that is now you're a pretty popular person in a pretty popular franchise and
look at the internet.
Yeah. That doesn't help either. Right. So, I mean, it's interesting. This is coming out now. I mean, we're done with her in the trilogy, for a few years now. And this is coming out now. I'm kind of surprised about that.
I think it's just that this outlet got a hold of her. And it was a convenient thing to ask her about. And, you know, she's commented on it. I mean, we don't know how recent this was, but I mean, really, is it any surprise that she's had fans like follow her to her house or like follow her around when she's out in public? I mean, she's not the only, not to diminish it, because it's creepy and potentially dangerous. Mm. So it's a serious thing. On the other hand, mm-hmm. She's not the only celebrity who's ever faced that. Probably not the only Star Wars celebrity who's ever faced it. She's just, I mean, she's young. She's not used to celebrity. I mean, Harrison Ford does a really good job of staying off the grid. It was a good decade before anybody knew that he had like a place out in Colorado that he spent most of his time at. He flies helicopter rescue missions in the mountains with an ERT team. And he's one of the pilots, and you know, you can get airlifted out of the mountains and not even know he was in the helicopter with you. Like he's a veteran at this. He's got it. She didn't expect to get the role.
She's not,
I mean, she's still new to being a celebrity. She hasn't done very much yet. She's early on in her career, you know, What is she supposed to do at this point? So I don't know. This isn't a big surprise to me, but
yeah, no, like, it's not a surprise to me either. People. And it is kind of one of those burdens of celebrity, and it's really unfortunate because obviously people shouldn't be acting that way. But yeah, it's one of those unfortunate things. So
Hopefully it calms down for, I hate to see that sort of thing.
Yeah.
That the real world intrudes on your life in a way, if that makes any sense. That's the kind of thing I feel like that would make some folks shy away from continuing on in a particular franchise if you're just facing threats to your personal safety. And I think given, and I don't know that any of these folks were toxic or threatening or anything like that, but given the overall climate about the sequel trilogy and her character and whatnot, you know, I'm just glad that none of the folks that showed up or stalked her are the menacing type, at least not that we know of.
Yeah, because with you know, some of the things that have gone on lately, if people don't like what they've seen on screen, they tend to be a little more forceful and verbal about it. And,
well, like she wrote,
you know,
the
nobody
movie.
Nobody needs that.
I mean, you know.
No, I know that. But you know, that doesn't but people stop are people crazy. From their own opinions. Right. Yeah. Unfortunately. Okay, we now have a writer for the new Star Wars film that Kevin Feige is attached to. What?
That wasn't discussed in the Disney investors call, Lou.
I you didn't hear that? I did.
I heard Taika Waititi, and I heard Wonder Woman in an invisible X-Wing.
Big secrets.
Well, you know, this is a guy that's been involved with Disney products in the past, right? He was a writer on, I think, Loki. And what else is he involved in here?
Michael Waldron.
Yes. Yes.
Loki, yeah. And he's also writing the upcoming Doctor Strange 2.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah. Multiverse of Madness.
Multiverse of Madness. Something multi M words.
Multi Madness.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, he's and apparently it's unusual for a studio to get a writer and latch onto them for a bunch of different projects across a bunch of different franchises and the way they seem to be doing with him. That's one of the things a lot of the insiders have been talking about, is that this a method of using him is out of the ordinary. I don't know that much about it, because I mean, we normally don't track writers. Writers are one of those people who typically don't get their due. They don't get paid much attention to unless they are also a director.
Yeah.
Or a producer. I mean, you see that too, where you have a producer or
showrunner
stay with. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Stay with a certain studio house for a while. But I think Disney is kind of learning that if they can have good luck on, you know, one half of the house, let's see if we can bring that over to the other half and get some, you know,
yeah,
capital spread across the both franchises, because, you know, they're doing well with the Marvel stuff, and they need to bring some of that good luck and traction over to Star Wars.
Well, and that's kind of the thing here too. They buried the lead. Go ahead, Tim.
This guy, he also got a heck of a contract, because not only did he get this, but they also announced a season 2 of the Loki series, which is funny because that was rumored a couple months ago. Then we were told, no, that's not going to happen. And now with this announcement on Deadline, they actually confirmed that it's going to happen. And he is going to be the showrunner for that second season as well. So
yeah. There's a couple leads that really got buried in this story. Like, hey, Michael Waldron writing the Kevin Feige movie. And it's like, wait a minute, writing the what now? And then also, yeah, season 2 of Loki. And it's like, well, isn't that its own announcement? What are you guys doing here?
I haven't even pretty seen much episode 1 yet.
Yeah. So
I have a couple.
Loki season 2. But I think also, like, it's a big deal that Kevin Feige is going to be producing a Star Wars movie. We've been hearing for a long time that he's been involved somehow, somewhere behind the scenes with Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And it was a rumor, but it was a really well-substantiated rumor. Like, people saw him coming and going from Lucasfilm, and nobody really knew the context of what ways he has been involved. There have been a lot of reports that he has met with Favreau and Filoni. Mm-hmm. And so there's been some speculation about, we've been talking about, and I didn't coin this phrase, I got it from Den of Nerds, but the Filoni-verse. Mm-hmm. That he might have kind of given them some guidance. It was purely like a consulting sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And then also there is a lot of talk going around that he was brought in to look at the Kenobi stuff. And then after they sat down and talked with him, they wiped the slate with the Kenobi scripts and went in a completely different direction with the Kenobi story. And if you remember, back before we heard Kevin Feige having anything to do about it, there were some rumors about it either getting canceled or delayed. Ewan McGregor said something about them like coming up with new scripts and stuff, and people were worried, you know, is there problems or whatever. And so now the puzzle pieces are starting to kind of come together to show a bigger picture there. Mm-hmm. I really think, you know, we talk about this a lot in our Discord server, but Star Wars needs a cinematic Kevin Feige sort of person. And I really think with the Filoni verse doing the way it is, they really need to bring Filoni and or Favreau or both, you know, whoever, mm-hmm. into the cinematic stuff too, and have them kind of steer the direction of things, like set up waves like the MCU has, like DCU had to some extent.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that you need two guys to replace, you know, Kevin Feige for the Star Wars side of things, but you know, everything I've been hearing, especially when you watch the gallery stuff on Disney Plus, that, you know, those two guys, Filoni and Favreau, work so well together. And every time you hear them talk about something on set or in regards to The Mandalorian, it is a team effort. And that's the kind of thing that I think is fantastic. And I wish they would spread along to the rest of the Star Wars stuff. Mm-hmm. And I know TV and cinematic stuff hasn't always played nice together over history, but you know, going forward, this is really one production house, and whether it's on the big screen or on streaming services, and that whole line is kind of blurred the last year with COVID, that, you know, why don't we make these two things one like they should be and produce content equally across both big screen and small screen? I think it's exciting.
I think you're exactly right, Lou. And I think along with that, the one thing that they have missed, that the gaping hole left in this franchise, has been there is no Lucas vision, right? There, and I don't mean to say that creators haven't channeled Lucas's inspiration and whatnot. I mean, there is no George Lucas type figure with a vision for where things are going. The story is all laid out in his head, and he's the one orchestrating, you know, the symphony here, whether he's in the director's chair, whether he's writing it, or just sitting as a producer. And George Lucas had his faults, but you can't look at the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy and knock it for the same sort of criticisms that you can to a certain extent with the sequel trilogy. Right. You know, he had a vision, as flawed as it was in certain regards and in certain aspects of its execution. It was George through and through. And I think you've been missing that in the current era. And Kevin Feige, for whatever his faults are, he's proven himself with I wouldn't have wanted to take on the challenge of bringing the MCU to the screen in the fashion that he had to shoulder.
Wait a minute. But I'm not aware that Kevin Feige has any faults, Tom.
Well, I'm just saying to anyone out there.
You could have picked an easier name to spell.
Yeah, that's
keep it in the I and E, which
I don't like all those vowels in there. Yeah. Plug a few more consonants in. So, but no, he's a proven commodity. And I think that the sort of reoccurring criticism that happens is, well, you guys aren't letting new voices in, whether it's directors or writers or this or that. And I think that the gear that they're in right now, and I mean Kathleen Kennedy, I mean the whole team, is we're going to find something that works, someone that works, and we've got to go with it, because this is a monumental pivot right now that they're in the middle of. It doesn't seem like it in some senses, but now that the shackles of the Skywalker saga are off, this is sort of, in my mind, make or break. And I don't mean break as in Star Wars is going to go away, because it won't. But I mean, this, the next sort of 5 years will be the difference between Star Wars just existing and being kind of this like popcorn movie franchise that we all go see occasionally, or being an MCU type force in the box office where it's a global, just, you know, all walks of life type event when one of these movies hit. And I think, I like these hires. I, you know, would like to see some new blood get mixed in. But if, whether it's Waldron or Feige, if they've got folks that they have seen the work of that they like and they want to go with that and stick with it for now, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
There's a balance between creative expression and quality control. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Star Wars fans would argue, even not the more extreme ones necessarily, but I think a lot of Star Wars fans would argue that we need a little bit more quality control at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then we can start getting into more like out there, outside the box creative expressions with Star Wars.
Sure. And going along with that, I think it's going to be a planning thing too. I mean, we said time and time again, and I think all of us at one point said, no, they had to have a plan for this. And then we find out they didn't. It's like,
why would you not?
Yeah. I don't know how you spend that much money to acquire the franchise that can be this powerful and then just throw caution to the wind and say, yeah.
Yeah. well, and Lou, you had mentioned the Star Wars or the Disney Galleries thing, and the most recent one that they did for season two of The Mandalorian. They really talked a lot in there about Jon Favreau really kind of taking on a different role. I mean, in the first season, yes, he directed a couple of the episodes. He certainly wrote the whole thing, and he had a presence there because he was the writer. And so he was really kind of trying to make sure that the different directors that were there had that connected vision of his. but in this, for the second season, there was a lot of emphasis. I'm not even sure that they use the term showrunner, but fundamentally that's what he was. That's, that's really what he became. And he said, you know, he loved being there working with both the directors and the stars to make sure that there was that, that entire continuity.
Right.
And that's very much, you know, what a showrunner does. I mean, and they're the ones that kind of give that, that big perspective where you're going to have someone who comes in and does directing for an episode or two, but you know, and then you're going to have other people, but that person kind of gives that, 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 that full vision of it, much more hands on than a producer would, but they're not actually doing the technical direction of each one. And we see that a lot. We've seen that in network TV for the last couple of decades, pretty solidly.
And it's also, it's that teamwork approach too, that makes it great because, you know, while you're a director, you're responsible for that episode. There may be some things you can't keep your eye on because there's just so much detail to go over. I mean, like in the most recent episode of Galleries, they were talking about the lightsaber hilts for Ahsoka. And they kept doing things, adding electronics and stuff. And they kept getting bigger and you know, and Favreau says, no, you can't do that. Or it was a Favreau or Filoni, one or the other. It mentioned that. And I'm like, yeah, that's great because the director may not have seen it that way and had the eye on that detail of this character that he had developed back, you know, in Clone Wars. And he made a call and changed some things. Which
thank
I think
goodness
is,
Filoni stepped in on the McClunky issue. I still can't say that. Favreau, almost.
Because he wanted to, because Favreau has that sense of humor where he likes to poke fun at that kind of stuff.
It's not funny. It's just stupid. Lucasfilm, love you guys. But what? McClunky? Really? Yeah. Like, just go insert random words into old footage.
And, you know, having that big picture person across the franchise, like Feige is for the MCU, you know, just earlier today, we had a big discussion on that in Discord. And I mentioned, you know, really, to be completely honest, Dave Filoni is a better George Lucas than George Lucas was, because George so often, I mean, you know, George tried to direct, George wrote, George did editing, I mean, when you think about what his roots were, he originally built this thing as a small movie house type of thing, and it blew up. And still, even after it blew up, he was trying to do everything. You know, yeah, some things he would farm out, but then even when he farmed out directing, he's standing right there next to Kirshner. You know, so
Single model, every single alien sculpt.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He literally walked around with the stamp.
Yeah. And while Filoni certainly does, Filoni likes to spend a lot of time with his creations. So again, you know, talking about that gallery episode, you know, Ahsoka's lightsabers, Ahsoka is his creation. And he was hellbent on making sure, thank you, that she was perfect in live action. That's not something that I would ever expect like a Kevin Feige to do with any character in the MCU. But that said, I think aside from that, I think that Filoni really could be that person for Lucasfilm to really manage a lot of that continuity across all these different aspects, regardless of where they are, what they are.
We were just having a discussion in the chat about how we should bring Kevin Smith in to be the Kevin Feige for Star Wars.
No.
Then you might get a Yoga Hosers episode.
Anyway, listen, Kevin Smith, he knows his stuff about Star Wars before the Disney Gallery thing aired, where they covered it in the Disney Gallery. Before that aired in his podcast, he was geeking out over the fact that, and spoiler for the end of the season 2 finale of The Mandalorian, the post-credit scene, he was geeking out about the fact that Bib Fortuna had the staff that came with the action figure for the toy. True. It was the only place they'd ever see. Kevin Smith, like, I'm not saying he'd be good for this role, but dude knows his Star Wars lore. Oh, like, I don't think he's a Tom Harper necessarily, but like, he's, you know, He's up there. Yep. He does okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving along.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, Tom.
You were going to geek out more on Kevin Smith.
I was.
We have two bits of Lego news to cover here. Real quickly, we have two sets coming out. Now, these are both rumors, I think, right? That, well, one's a rumor, one was voted on in the fan polls last year.
One's confirmed, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So first off, we have the rumor. We have a huge,
massive,
ginormous
That's a good word for it.
That will now be the largest Lego set ever, which is surpassing the Roman Colosseum that was put out last year, I think, right?
Yes.
Which is pretty massive. I've seen that build in a Lego store. It's huge.
Please tell me this is the Razor Crest.
No. This will be the Razor Crest just comes in a pile of pieces that don't.
There's no instructions.
Yeah, there's no instructions. You just dump the box out, and there's your Razor Crest.
Too soon, Lou.
You have to. the whole fun of it is you have to find the Beskar spear and the shifter knob.
I am so bad at finding that piece that is missing, but not missing. But you're convinced it's missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. I have that anyway, same
what
feeling.
Is it? I want to know.
We have a new Death Star, an 11,000 piece Death Star.
Why? It's a big ball.
I wish it could have been something else.
Do we know the price count on the Colosseum?
Colosseum is just over 9,000 pieces.
Wow. So it's like a full, like a legit $50-$60 set larger than
that. Oh, yeah. Right. It's a build more.
Our long-time listeners are going to know. Just how monumental a statement this is. I would rather them come out with like an ultra deluxe collector series Y-wing.
Tom is in
life size. You're speaking my language,
and you know I don't like Y-wings. But why the Death Star? I get you can pop the panels off, and there's probably a little diorama stuff inside. But like, I don't get into the whole. Unless it's like Echo Base where you're building like a battlefield or something, I don't get into all the little playset stuff because like even when I was a kid, I didn't actually play playset stuff with Legos. I did that with my action figures.
I mean, I think it worked well in the UCS Falcon because you could take that because that had its own sets in there. I mean, the Death Star, you're right. I don't want to see you pull off a panel and say, ooh, this part of the Death Star is where the trash compactor. It's like, doesn't
and the last
when they have that set.
The Falcon yeah, the last Death Star
without
build
pulling
had
the panels
that.
Off.
Right.
The Death Star, it's a ball.
Yeah.
Right.
You have to pull the panels off for it to become interesting.
And they have that. It's like a $300-$400 set, the original Death Star. Mm-hmm. What I think that probably drove this piece count up is, I haven't read the rumor, but I think it's probably the Death Star 2. So you get some exposed superstructure.
That would
look really cool. Like that would be a cool looking model to build.
That would be.
And
that actually does. Like, yeah, that's a good idea.
If you get some scaled capital ships or something like that, that would be fun. Sort of like
Death Star 2, I'll retract all my statements there.
but if this thing is 11,000 pieces, I mean, Tom, we were saying before we started recording, you had built the Star Destroyer. The recent UCS
I thought that thing was. I went and looked at the piece count, Lou. I thought for sure that was somewhere in the neighborhood, like 7,000-8,000. It wasn't even 5,000 pieces, and that thing took me forever. And it had the same sort of infernal mix of like gray, light gray, dark gray, a little bit of black. Like,
and that thing is big too. I mean, how long is that ship?
It's a good 3 feet long, just about. It is.
So I want to know how big this giant Death Star ball is going to be. I mean, if I get this, can I put it in the living room and not take over like half the room?
Like, you just live in it.
Like three feet in diameter. No,
your wife is going to relegate it to your basement.
You can sublet it out. Just rent it as a room.
So we don't know when this is coming out, right? This is a rumor sometime in 2021, we're assuming.
Yeah, sometime this year is what the rumor says. And they're also saying that basically just essentially based upon the count of pieces, they would expect this to be priced in at about $800.
Wow.
That's got to be like a late summer release because the cantina is still relatively new. And I would think they'd want to give that some shelf life into the summer. to allow people to buy that up. And then maybe this is like
a new MacBook for that much, just about.
Yeah, $800. That's
but can your MacBook blow up planets? No, Eric. I don't think it can.
Actually, yeah. Load a Final Cut Pro up in there, and I really can.
The other one,
a Lego set for Alderaan, and it's just going to be like 25,000 little pieces.
Also doubles as the Razor Crest.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a bigger version of the Razor Crest. That's all.
Too soon, Tom.
Oh, good Lord. The other one we're going to be getting is a UCS version of the Republic gunship. Now, this looks really cool. I am excited about this one.
Okay.
Is the picture in there, is that of the actual build, or is that of the old?
I don't think that's right, though, isn't it?
Yeah. In the website that we're looking at, they have a picture up, and that's of the last gunship that they did. Yeah.
Which is a great set. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, this is a cool ship. I like the moving parts it has on it, and it's also something that makes sense that the doors are going to slide open to see stuff inside. So this thing to me is kind of cool as a UCS kit.
Yeah, this one's all right.
My vote was still for the medical frigate.
That would have been awesome. Yeah. That was my vote as well, even though I like deeply love the gunship is one of my favorite vehicles of all time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But frigate would have been awesome.
I agree, Tom. Yeah, I agree.
Lou, what's the price point on the gunship?
On this one, they're saying $349.
That's reasonable.
I feel like that's in line. Especially for a UCS. That's
UCS. I mean, I like the UCS ones that are around $200.
Agreed.
But,
agreed.
You know, $350 isn't horrible. It's not $600-$800 like some of the last few have been.
Yeah.
I mean, the Falcon was up there. The Star Destroyer was up there, and now the Death Star is up there too. So.
And at $349, that's probably going to be a pretty big piece count too. I think it's going to be a bigger model. I mean, I would expect something probably the size of like the UCS Slave One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
3,500, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah, big build.
Yeah. Well, looking forward to that. And that one we're probably thinking won't be out May the 4th maybe or later?
Probably later, probably second half of the year.
Okay. Okay, well, that is it for news. One thing that has happened since we talked last time is the new books, comics. What else?
High Republic. This is where I will exit because I am desperately trying to avoid spoilers because I'm reading as my kids go down. I'm picking up Light of the Jedi every night and reading like little bit by little bit. So I have to run. But it's been a pleasure closing out Echo Base with you gentlemen and everybody that's listening. And I'll see you the next time.
Thanks. All
right. Thanks for being here.
See you on Force Chatter.
Okay. Yeah. So the High Republic, that all kicked off last week, I think it was, right? Last Tuesday?
Yes. We got a new novel. We got a mid-grade novel, which is like not young adult, but a little bit below that. Like, I think like 8 to 14. And then the launch of the Marvel comic series.
Okay. I have not touched the comic series yet. The young adult novel, that was which one? That was Test of Courage?
That's the one you got a promo for.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was out or not. Too. So I'm starting to read through that one. I like it. I stopped reading that when this came out, when Light of the Jedi came out on audiobooks. I've been reading through that. I'm probably 3 or so hours in, I think. Right now,
I'm 3 hours in.
I think I got 9 hours left. I think it was like 14 hours ago. They got 9 hours left. Maybe I'm 5 hours in. I don't know, but I'm
2 or 3.
I'm liking it. I think it's an interesting. It's still like we're jumping into the middle of events, which is kind of cool because we're not getting a lot of backstory about what's going on, what the state of the Republic is. It's just, hey, something's going on, and let's just figure out what's going on.
Yeah, they started out with a crisis. They put you right in at the beginning of it. And I think that's a really good way to start, I mean, really any sort of story. You just jump right into the action.
Especially when it's new characters and new things and new environments. I think it's awesome that way.
Because it's hard to keep track of a bunch of new characters if it's just a bunch of exposition. But if they give you some events that stand out, then at least you feel like you're making progress through the story, through the events, even if you can't keep up with the characters yet.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yep. Not that it's been confusing. You know, I think the characters have been fine and they've been well-developed characters, but there are so many, like everybody at that time period, other than eventually we see Yoda show up in the High Republic, but everybody else is brand new. So we've got a whole mm-hmm. new galaxy of characters to learn.
Yeah.
I think they started this one really well. And the reviews by people who have finished it have been almost unanimously favorable, other than all of those people who claim to have read it within an hour and a half of it coming mm-hmm. out and got on the internet and just, oh, this is like the worst thing ever. Hashtag not my Star Wars, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. They just, I'm like, and yet you can't give us any content about what it is you didn't like. Like it's
right.
It's like, oh my gosh, you guys just don't ever stop, do you?
I mean, so far where I'm at in the story, it feels like Star Wars to me. I mean,
oh, totally.
You know, totally. I am on board. I'm starting to learn the characters. I'm, you know, it's a bit much because, you know, like you said, Eric, there's a lot of new characters being introduced. You know, it's the middle of a crisis. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of moving mm-hmm. parts.
But that's kind of the best way to introduce it because otherwise, I mean, it could get very boring. You know, mm-hmm. this way, it's just there's so much action and it's very rapid fire. I mean, you can tell that Charles Sewell, the author, is a comic writer. The chapters are very, very short and it moves very, very fast paced, which mm-hmm. I really appreciate. I mean, I'm about 100 pages in on it and I am solidly enjoying it. It's great. Yes. And it's even though it's an earlier era than we have seen, at least relative to current canon, it, like you said, Lou, it still feels very much Star Wars. It's great.
I always have a hard time getting into things that I'm not familiar with when it comes to books, which is why I like sequels for books. And one of the reasons I like Star Wars, because you already know the universe, you can jump right in. And this is one of those unique situations in Star Wars where you don't really know everything going in. Mm-hmm. But once again, as we just discussed, they've really done a good job of pulling you in and helping you along. And I'm really happy with it so far. It was not as difficult. I expected like to really kind of have to churn through the first few hours of the audiobook, and really it hasn't been any problem at all.
Right.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. And to answer Joe's question in the chat room, I'm still learning the characters, but so far, like even the, we'll call them the throwaway characters that are there, have been written with some depth.
Yeah.
And are involved in interesting scenes. So I have no worries about the rest of the novel.
Yeah, and there really haven't been any characters that were like written superficially.
Yeah,
it was all really good with good meaning and intent. Like you said, even characters that were largely throwaways or like, you know, C or D level characters, even like they go into it. You know, there's the tech guy early on, very, very early on in the book. And even in just a few paragraphs, like you totally know who this guy is, you know?
Yeah.
Right. It's just that good. It really, really well written. I appreciate that writing style.
Yeah. I started the kids novel figuring, well, it's so short, I'll be able to whip through it really quickly. Haven't got through that yet, but so far what I've read of it's pretty good too. So the reviews on that, for people who haven't been like looking online and kind of consolidating what people are saying about it, people are liking that one too. People are saying that even though it's a kid's novel, it has enough depth to keep adult Star Wars fans easily contained.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's been true of a lot of the young adult novels in Star Wars in the last, say, 10 years. A lot of those are even better than some of the adult novels, I think, personally.
The Leia one was just fantastic.
So to clarify, those are, quote, young adult novels, of which there is one coming up very soon.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the level below that.
This is one step below that, right?
This is one step below that age group wise. And yet, once again, just think of it as a little novella for Star Wars and you'll be fine. Like, it's not
Yeah. Don't worry about the intended age.
Island saccharin with its storytelling. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I agree. The one thing I haven't touched is any of the comics. I'm looking forward to getting into those too.
Yeah, I picked it up.
This may be what is okay. This may be what gets me back into comics again. Because I just haven't had time. I haven't found the time to do it, you know. And it's funny, as we mentioned this on a side note, I've been going through stuff in my attic that I've been having in boxes for the last 10 years that I haven't opened up. And I found a couple of legacy comics. So I'm like, ooh,
nice.
Cool. I'll have to go through these again. So, yeah.
I did sign up for Marvel Unlimited again.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. And there were so many Star Wars comics that I got so far behind on, plus all the other Marvel stuff. And somebody pointed out a really good hopping on point for some recent X-Men stuff. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll go ahead and take the plunge.
It refresh my memory. Is that current stuff or is it only like delayed?
There's unless it's changed, there had always been a 6-month delay.
Okay.
Which is reasonable. You know, mm-hmm. That's not that bad. The High Republic stuff, though, I think I don't want to delay that far. So I think I'm just going to subscribe to those. So a public service announcement real quick. First of all, I'm told that the while one does not spoil the other, the events of the comic book happen after the end of the events of Light of the Jedi.
Okay.
So the character, one of the characters you follow through Light of the Jedi, when you get to the comic books, that character is in their, like their next location, like the
cool
place they've moved on to.
Well, that's good after information that to have.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the one thing. Second thing, and this comes from David in our Discord server. And thank you for this. He pointed out that the epilogue of The Last Jedi spoils, I forget the name of it, but
no, not the Last Jedi.
Light of the Jedi.
The epilogue of The Last Jedi, very, very different thing. The Last
Jedi was called Rise of Skywalker.
Very different thing.
The epilogue of Light of the Jedi spoils some important stuff for the mid-grade kids book that I don't remember the name of because I don't have it in front of me. Yet, okay. If you read the kids book first, it references stuff from Light of the Jedi that... I guess it doesn't spoil it, but it would be a little bit helpful to know what's going on.
Okay.
So Light of the Jedi is supposed to give you a better introduction to what's going on in the galaxy and all that. Just keep in mind the epilogue will spoil parts of that kid's book. So read the kid's book first or read it in conjunction with Light of the Jedi. I'm doing both at the same time because I figure I'm going to treat the kid's book like it's just yet another chapter. Like just more interspersed chapters throughout the main book. Cause you know how they always cut away to like different characters and the next chapter will go back to the other guy and you know, books bounce around from character to character. I'm just playing it like it's bouncing an additional step. I don't know. Seems easier that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think this is a good start for, The High Republic stuff. Yeah. I'm excited. I was excited before. Now I'm even more excited. I think this is a good storytelling in good Star Wars stuff. And I can't wait to see it all tie together and move forward from there. So,
yeah. Until we get that Kevin Feige movie. It's going to be the third Star Wars movie and it's going to cover the High Republic.
There you go. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode, I believe, folks. Unless you guys have anything that you want to add in last minute here.
I'm still sad that there's no more Echo Base, but.
I am too, but all our listeners out there,
Tim, if you're that sad, buy another t-shirt.
Yeah. Another t-shirt now. Get them while they're hot.
I will.
Yeah.
I should get them before I take it off of T Public. Right. They'll be up for a while, folks. I'm not doing that real quick. So
yeah. Let Lou and I know first, please. But we're not going anywhere. We will be back. We're going to be recording at the same time. We're going to have the same releases. It's going to be, the content is going to be just like it always has been. We're just rebranding and new titles and logos and all that. So nothing for you to worry about. It's just, you know, we're crying on the inside.
We are.
But that's going to do it for the final episode. Final ... question mark. I don't know. This could come back again. Later for some reason, but right now we are going to close the blast doors here at Echo Base. I still maintain that we're going to be recording from here. We're just going to put a different sign on the front door. So head on over to randomchatter.com. We've got all of our audio podcasts over there. And if you put a little slash at the end of that, randomchatter.com, and put another word in, you can get to all kinds of different stuff. We already talked about randomchatter.com/store, where you can get your Echo Base and Outer Rim shirts before they go away. /Discord will get you the Discord server. There's a lot of great conversations going on there. And with the new Marvel stuff coming up, going to be a good place to be. You're going to want to be in the Discord server. /YouTube to get the videos of all of our shows. And /Patreon to find out how to help support the network and to become a member of Random Chatter. We're a nonprofit organization, so even if you donate just $1 a month, which we don't pocket, that goes straight into operating costs, that makes you a member of the network, which is pretty cool. So
exactly. Yeah.
Consider doing that. And otherwise, that's going to do it. Hit that subscribe and like button down below if you're here on YouTube. And until then, we will see you next weekend for episode 1 of Force Chatter.
Ooh, episode
now that's
one.
Cool. See, that has me excited cool. Again now.
See, ending on a good note. Force Chatter, exactly. episode 1.
Episode
Be
one.
There. You can tell people you were there right from the beginning. All right. Take care, everybody.